WJFF has been talking to people on air about so many important things. You may have missed what they're saying about us.
You're holding down the fort.
You guys are a great resource and my favorite channel to listen to.
Everybody donate to your local radio station. This is democracy in survival mode. Every dollar counts.
Now we just need to hear from you at WJFFradio.org.
This is Radio Catskill, and we do need your support at WJFFradio.org. WJFFradio.org. Give any amount. And right now we're going to go to our first interview of the week here. Sullivan County Government is in the midst of creating the 2021 budget, and here to talk about how that's going and everything else in the county government for our weekly Sullivan County check-in. It's Sullivan County Manager Josh Potosik. Hi, Josh. How you doing?
Good evening. How are you?
Good. Doing good. So the last time we talked to you, the preliminary budget was just about ready to go. Where's that at right now?
So the tentative budget has been filed. It's now on the legislator's desk. It's filed October 30th. We've had one public budget meeting already. They have two more scheduled in November. And then there will be two statutory public hearings held sometime, hopefully early in December. That have yet to be scheduled. They have until December 20th to adopt. Typically, the legislature has done it sometime in the first or second week of December.
So 2020 has been a tough year for the county. You know, creating a new budget during these crazy times has got to be a daunting task. What can you tell us about the new budget?
Yeah, so on the good news side, I mean, our sales tax has kind of stabilized from where we collected last year. Still going to be under budget by about $2 million. We anticipate collecting about 47. The budget for this year had 49. We're lowering that projection to around that $47 million with the additional energy tax on top of that, which would be new money for a short period of time. The solid waste access fee is being reduced pretty significantly, and the budget's within the tax cap. On the unknown side, I think we've talked about before, is this interaction with a second federal stimulus and potential state aid reductions. Our budget anticipates about $25 million in state aid. The governor has been talking about potential up to 20% state aid cuts to localities if federal stimulus doesn't come. So you can see there's still a big unknown that we've kind of accounted for a little bit. We've increased in our contingency account a little bit to kind of offset potential state aid cuts, not $5 million, but by about $3 million. So we can mitigate some of that potential cuts, but not the whole amount. So hopefully we'll see what happens here shortly. I know the governor recently was talking about waiting till the federal election, presidential election, to see if he'd announce cuts or not, depending on if stimulus comes. So that's a big unknown still in the budget. We've built in some contingencies, but I think we still need to be pretty conservative in spending until we kind of know what the state is going to do, not only this year, but the state's got a new budget coming up on April 1st of next year. So we're kind of in this next 6 months or so that there could be, we need to be able, nimble and be able to react to potential state reductions in aid to county government.
All told, will that result in higher taxes for the average taxpayer in Sullivan County?
Yeah, so the tax rate is within the state-imposed tax cap. The rate's going up 2.24%, a little bit higher than the 2% everyone thinks is the cap because of some assessment growth. But I think for the average person, and that increase will be, for the most part, mitigated by the solid waste fee reduction. So on a residential house, the access fee is going down from the current $80 to $50. So that $30 of savings should mitigate the typical taxpayer's tax levy increase. So I think all in all, the majority of people will probably not see a huge or even a minimal tax burden in their total tax bill when they get it in January.
The solid waste fee was the next thing I was going to ask you about. Does that mean we don't have to buy the book of ticket at the transfer station, or is this something else?
Well, two different things. So the access fee was put in back in 2010 when the old landfill closed as a means to service some legacy costs. So the access fee has been coming down as some of those costs have been reduced. So that's separate. Every improved parcel pays that. Commercial's a little bit higher than residential. But so every improved parcel pays that. But then you would still, whether it's the access, the book that you use at a transfer station, or if you have a commercial hauler, you still have to pay to get rid of your consumption of the usage of the facilities. So that's still in place. It's this other fee that all improved parcels have been paying off, basically to pay for some of the infrastructure costs that you have access to the system that's been in place since, I think, 2010.
Right, right. And now I also heard that the county is going to invest more in Move On Sullivan. That's the county's transportation loop. Can you tell us about how the first year has been for Move On Sullivan and what we can expect from it in 2021?
Yeah, I think we're looking back in the first year, it wildly exceeded everyone's expectations on ridership, and I think it even held up through the pandemic and has actually rebounded pretty significantly back to some prior levels more recently. Now, we recently, November 2nd, put in some modifications to the an enhancement to the existing loop. Now hitting another hospital, expanding to some of our housing developments, going up into more of Upper Main Street and Liberty, which we think will really improve ridership. At the same time, we've been talking about, took a little time with COVID, but put in the $2 fare. And we're continuing looking at other options on how to expand. But I think looking back, whether from internally to the legislature to our vendor, the ridership has been wildly successful, and I think portends well for the future in the sense that proof of concept kind of is there, that there is a demand, there is a need, and ridership is there. So I think this will enable us to be able to look at further options going forward in the future on expansion because this existing loop has been so successful.
All right. I know it's not totally your area. In the next hour, we've actually got Dr. Elswig's going to be talking to us from County Public Health. But the numbers for COVID-19 are up again. I mean, they really shot up a couple weeks ago, coming down a little bit over the course of the next week and a half. And now at the end of last week, they jumped up. And once again, we can say we've got more active cases than we've had since mid-June. How are people at the county level feeling about this? How does this impact you at all as you're looking at the money end of things?
Yeah, so obviously no one wants to see the cases going up, and it's been a rather gradual increase. We've had some spikes here and there, but I mean, it's kind of been kind of a linear increase versus that parabolic increase we saw back in March and April. Our hospital's still doing well in terms of being able to handle the capacity, which was our big concern back when this pandemic started with the hospital get overrun. They're well under capacity and can handle a surge in cases. Our public health staff has done a yeoman's job. They're getting a little stretched. I think what's different this time, we're seeing when everyone was pretty much locked down, only going to work, only going to essential things, the contact tracing has gotten a little bit more difficult because people are more mobile, which is good. The economy's open, so people are going to a store, more people going to work, schools are open. So I think we've seen a little bit of a stress on our epidemiology team and public health in general that one case is definitely triggering more contact tracing time and people just because people are out and about more. But I think it's certainly manageable now. We're working closely with the state on any kind of little micro clusters or outbreaks. We're seeing some in some of our businesses, our light industry, that we've been working very close with the state on to kind of keep those impacts down. I think in general, too, I think just having gone through it back in the spring, early summer, our team is better prepared to handle some of these outbreaks and the contact tracing in general. But no, it is of somewhat of a concern. I think it's certainly very manageable still to this day. I think people have, looking at the holidays coming up, that could be concerning. I think we've heard some stuff from the governor about, in our governor, but other governors, about trying to limit travel around those holidays and some of these spreads happening from, family events or party type events. So I think that we're looking to see if we can get through that time period, and hopefully things will calm down again.
All right. And is there anything else going on at the county government that you want to let us know about tonight?
Yeah, I think it's starting to, our broadband LDC is going to be meeting here, a date to be scheduled, their first initial meeting to kind of deploy broadband. We have equipment going up on our tower in Monticello. We've gotten some pretty good amount of grant funding to put more towers and more equipment up. So I think you're going to start to see and hear a lot about that. And hopefully in the first quarter, there'll be actual users of the system, primarily in the Monticello area first, but then looking at expanding in Rock Hill, Liberty, getting some population centers, another tower in Monticello. And then looking at our outlying areas that are really underserved, you know, using the population base as a revenue generator there to be able to support some of the other outlying systems. So I think that will be something you're going to hear a lot about tail end of this year, but certainly into next year as we start to test the system, but then build out the system with other towers going up next year.
When was the LDC put together?
The legislature's been talking about it for a while. It's been created end of October, so the board members are named. They're working on coordinating a meeting here. I think they're hoping to have their first meeting before Thanksgiving holiday. You know, get some of the procedural stuff out of the way, regulatory stuff, policies, procedures, insurance type things. And then really as December and into the new year come, really start ramping up and doing a lot of deployment and testing and deployment and getting the system up. We're very hopeful. We're looking at goals of upwards of 90% of the hopefully covered of the underserved areas. So I think the legislature has really made it, if not the number one, near the number one priority of the board, that they want to see this really, and they feel it's really a driver of a lot of things. You know, telemedicine, kids not being able to Zoom for some of their school meetings, and then obviously economic development. I have a lot of realtors that say people coming up looking at real estate, if there are one of the two questions are, is there cell service and broadband? If there's not, they're looking at other properties. So I think this can really drive growth and development in some of our areas that, you know, that have historically had poor connectivity.
Yeah, and I mean, this is something, you know, people at all different levels have been talking about for quite a while. It just seems like things are really happening now in a number of different areas, especially in Sullivan County. And that's why I was going to, all those things that you cite, I was going to ask, like, do you think that's making this process move a little quicker, all of those needs kind of coming to the fore at once like this?
Well, I think the pandemic, I mean, for all the bad that came out, it really highlighted the need for this. I mean, just from trying to educate our kids remotely, trying to get to some of our more vulnerable population that needs health care that, you know, was homebound. And also just economic development. We've seen, I think, when we spoke a little bit of our sales tax, I think that was kind of driven by a good proportion of people, you know, from the tri-state New York City area, working remotely from here, educating their kids remotely from here, but also shopping. And so I think that proof of concept was the COVID pandemic showed what could happen, both from a good and bad perspective, without, you know, broadband and cell service. So I think that really highlighted it. And if it wasn't crystal clear, I think with the legislature or residents, I think that this pandemic really, you know, to tip the needle in the sense that we have to solve this problem if we want to thrive as a county.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I think we're going to get going now, Joshua, but thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, anytime. Have a great night.
All right, you too. This is Radio Catskill. That was Sullivan County Manager Joshua Potosik speaking to us for our weekly Sullivan County Government Update. Right here on Radio Catskill, or your community radio station, we are keeping you connected, and this is the only place you can hear things like that on such a regular basis. We check in with Sullivan County every week. We check in with Wayne County every week. And with the spike in cases going on, information about positive cases at two different schools in the area just today. We're going to keep talking to the people that know what's going on. We're going to talk to Dr. Bruce Elswig, Medical Director for Sullivan County Public Health. Next hour, coming up in about 40 minutes, just less than 40 minutes, we'll be talking to him right here on Radio Catskill.